time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today's show is all about one of my favorite wintertime activities, and that is winter birding. Well, you could set up stations in a few different places. Set them up at your home, and we'll talk about how we do that. And there is that great enjoyment you get from seeing birds around your property. Set one up at your business. This is for those peaceful mental breaks. Some people just think that you're daydreaming, but you're not just daydreaming looking out the window. You're checking out some awesome birds, and there's a lot of peace that goes along with that. And how about setting them up at schools where we can educate our youth? Well, the cast of characters, the birds that will go to your feeders will be different than mine because it depends on where you live in your neck of the woods around this country. Or, hey, we've got listeners from around this world. A great vast number of people in Germany listen to us. And that's a real cool thing, by the way. So your cast of characters will be dictated by what birds live in your area and the types of food. And we'll get into that in a little bit. I just thought I'd let you know about my two favorite winter birds. One of them, the social guy, the chickadee. And this is really neat. You know, got the tractor and plow out on the property, but as we get close to the front door, it's by shovel. And my bird feeder is set up, the front feeder is set up right there. And I'll be shoveling away and literally 5 feet away from the feeder. And you got this chickadees and they're just chatting away and grabbing a seed and coming down and chatting. And the next one comes in and all the other birds disappear, I guess, because of the noise and the, you know, distraction of me being there. But the chickadees, they're the social guys. And then I look for that beautiful bird. And the beautiful bird to me happens to be the female cardinal with an orange beak in the snow. I mean, it just stands out. So they're my favorite cast of characters. What are yours? I guess the only way we'll know that is we have to attract them. So let's talk about how to attract them with types of feed or food. Well, you can go to a local hardware store, bird store, online, and you can buy a seed tube. And one of the things I'm going to tell you with the seed tubes, they all come with little pegs. And you should be able to pull those pegs out and not even use the pegs because the birds that you'd like to attract don't need the pegs at all. That's the first little hint. And then what do you fill it with? Do you fill it with black oil sunflower seed or a mix of seed? And each one's going to attract different types of birds. The black oil, it does cost more money. And to me, there's a better attracting of birds using that. Sometimes we do throw a mix out there, but I'm going to say this to you. You need to also think about cost. So, and later on, we'll touch upon the cost of things, but I'm going to say to you that the mix is a lot cheaper than the black oil sunflower seed. Another type of specific feeder you can use and specific seed is thistle seed. And it's a separate little feeder. I actually have it. It almost looks like a little sack bag, little like ditty bag, with tiny little holes, because once again, the seeds are really small, and they attract goldfinches. So if you're looking to attract a specific type of bird, well, then you can use a specific type of seed. And the next thing is they sell seed bells. And the seed bells, you can yield, once again, buy black oil sunflower seed or a mix. And my great buddy, Inspector Dave, in his organic garden, I credit Dave on this one. We actually go in on a few cases of the seed bells. We have found that the seed bells last much longer than the tubes. Sometimes you could fill up a tube and it is gone within hours. And that could be very costly. The seed bells, because they're, you know, honey glued together, so to speak, and the birds work at getting the seed, which, again, that's part of the deal, seeing them on there. It lasts for quite a long period of time. So a couple of the cases, we split them in half, goes to Inspector Dave's property. The other half of the cases comes onto my property. And every now and then we do get a mixed seed bell just to change it up a little bit and sometimes different birds. And then sometimes, hey, you know, you like different varying things in your diet. So do the birds. And then the next thing you can hang is suet. And suet really is pig fat, but there are different flavors. and the different flavors will bring different cast of characters. What I like about the suet is woodpeckers, and the other birds go onto it as well, but the woodpeckers tend to look for that suet. So in one of my feeding stations, I actually just have a suet station for that reason. Once again, different cast of characters. Well, some birds will go to the feeders, the seed bells and all that, and some birds are platform feeders, meaning they would actually, in nature, they would be feeding on the ground. So you could set up a platform high, and they actually sell platform feeders, so you can view them that way, or you could simply just put some of the seed on the ground. Do I recognize if you put some of the seed on the ground, are some of the squirrels going to enjoy it? Yeah, but guess what? I don't mind sharing, and we'll talk a little bit about Joey B versus the squirrel a little bit later on, but I don't mind sharing as long as they're going to take a little bit of the seed. Because typically what I will do is I've got my one feeder station, I've got my seed bell hanging, and as the seed bell is hanging, I then have some loose seed that I just throw right on top of the snow. And it's a way of getting the blue jays in. Birds like that, hey, let me tell you, blue jays on top of the snow, really, really, I mean, spectacular looking. So you're going to have to make your own decisions now. There's a combo of seed tubes, seed bells, platforms, ground feeders. So that is something and a decision that you have to make. But I'm sure you also know that this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, their experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. I also leave the seed heads of some of my perennials. I leave them out to attract some of the birds that are out there. So as I clip away, you know, I have these beautiful perennial flower gardens. I purposely leave some of the seed heads out there. For example, the purple coneflower, because the goldfinches love that seed from the purple coneflower. So once again, now I don't have to use the thistle seed to attract the goldfinches because the purple coneflower is doing that. So it's not imperative, but it helps immensely. Now, here's one thing that I guess that if you can afford it and you can do it, but you're going to have to keep up with it. And this helps year-round. And I'm also going to talk to you and go, year-round, well, how can this help in the wintertime? Or what do I do in the wintertime? And that's a bird bath. And you're going to go, well, does that mean that they go ice skating? Well, no. They have water heaters, and they are electric. So once again, if you're going to do that bird bath, and it's going to be heated water, it's like, I guess, the bird jacuzzi, and you're going to have power out there. So you need a GFI, ground fault interruption, and which is safety for that's out there. So you're going to need some power. And again, if you can hook that up yourself, otherwise I'd go to a licensed electrician to do that. And some people say, well, I'm not going to go through all that trouble. And then some people are going, man, I put that bird bath out there and I attracted so many more birds in. So there is something that, you know, you need to make your own personal decision. And again, it gets back to cost. So let's talk about my viewing stations on my property. And maybe this will give you some general ideas for viewing stations around your property. And some of you may already have this set up and going, all right, oh, wow, that's a cool idea. See, what life is about is sharing ideas and helping each other out. So my viewing stations, my first one is this. Right outside my front door of my home, about 10 feet off my porch, there happens to be a flowering cherry tree. So I actually hang the seed bell right there. And the seed bell that's right there, I have windows that I can view from literally 10 feet away. I'm up close and personal, and I'll talk about a couple other things that go on from that viewing station there. But one of the things that, again, when you talk about cost, you need to have some type of baffle to keep the squirrels away. Remember I said I don't mind sharing a little seed on the ground. Well, I had a battle one time with a squirrel, and if you go to Joey B TV, JOUIBE.TV, and you see Joey B's Outdoor Adventures, my episodes that are there, there is one called Joey B versus a squirrel. If you're a birder, or a squirrel lover for that matter, it is a must-view episode. Well, what I did purchase is called the Squirrel Away Baffle, and it was just that, because I've tried some other baffles, and squirrels, they really are ingenious. So if you want to give the squirrel all of your food, don't put a baffle. If you want to share a little food, throw it on the ground. If you want the squirrels to not steal the bulk of your seed, you need to get a baffle. And this one by brand, I don't get any money for it, was actually called the Squirrel Away Baffle. Now, That is in the front part of my house, so I can view that close right there. My back feeding station happens to be Suet, because remember I said, you get a different cast of characters. You got the woods in the backyard where we draw in quite a number of the woodpeckers onto that one. Again, do I get some other birds on there? And the answer is absolutely yes. But those are the guys with the suet. And I've tried all different flavors. And quite honestly, it's almost like Jimmy Houston talks about. He's a fishing guide on ESPN. And he always talks about that fishing lures catch not fish, but fishermen. And I'm going to tell you, flavors of suet, I think, catch humans. They don't catch birds. So any type of suet out there, because I think they're really looking for the fat because they need a little bit more energy in the wintertime. So the things you now need, let's talk about, okay, what needs to be near your viewing station, near your window? First thing is I'm going to tell you, leave them there permanent. Set it up in a little kit, little box, a little tray, whatever you want to do. One of them is a pair of binoculars. My binos are always there. I have a Peterson field guide. There are many field guides that are out there, but I happen to, you know, again, we all like have a love for a specific author or whatever. Well, the Peterson field guide's there for me. So I have a Peterson field guide there. And since it's Joey B's outdoor adventure and I'm always taking photos, my camera's over there and I got a camera with a huge zoom lens on it. So I can get up close and personal, and that's what I was chatting about before, up close and personal with the birds. I get some great photos on there. And if you wanted to see some of my photos, you can follow me on Twitter, and we tweet about all the different places that we're filming across this country, and it's simply at Joey B Outdoors, and that is outdoors with an S, plural. You know, I take my photos across the country, but when I'm home, I am actually taking them. Now watch how cool this is, to go back to my front feeding station. I have a front porch. It's enclosed. When it is snowing, I will slowly open the door, and I will just sit there. And, hey, am I losing a little bit of heat? Yeah, but guess what? I'm sitting there with my camera inside, warm, so to speak, not obstructed by the glass, and I am sitting there clicking away, taking some of the greatest photos. Once again, I said winter birding is enjoyment, and it's total enjoyment for me. Now, as the season goes on, the snows, well, they get deep. Well, you need to keep a clear path to your feeder stations. Some of you might shovel it. Some of you may have a snow blower. Again, I have the tractor and plow, but it's too large. So since I can't, I actually will get my shovel going. But hey, sometimes, actually for the back feeder, most times, because it's such a long distance and I'm not going to be shoveling that out through the property, sometimes I just go with the stomp method. And I will stomp the snow down, literally. I've got these low-cut, they're actually snow boots, mudders, and they're 400-grain thinsulate, so they're warm. And they're low-cut, so I just slide them on, and they're like mocks, so to speak. And they work for a short time when you're working outside around the house, you know, but it's perfect for the my bird boots. And I'll just go out and stomp the snow, and if it's deep snow, then obviously I'm putting the big old snow boots on. But if you keep stomping as the season goes on, even if you get a big storm, sometimes the high boots, but most times my low cuts will just, if I'm changing seed or something like that, just slide them on and off I go. And I start feeding at Thanksgiving. Well, I figure if my family is having a feast on this day, well, then the birds should have their feast on this day. And I feed all the way through until the birds nest in the springtime. You say, well, why would you do that? Some people are saying, well, isn't there some available food at that point? And the answer is yes. I want them to nest on or near my property because many of the birds that eat insects are actually taking care of the insects. We talk about, you know, being organic. Well, here's an organic control to insects. So if any of you are going, wow, this is really cool and this sounds great and how do I get into it? Well, I'd say the first thing is check with the Audubon Society in your area. Every state has one. They have some winter bird talks. They have many winter bird walks. And I'm going to tell you that you get to meet some of the nicest people. Here's one of the cool things. Birders, out of all the different groups I have associated with on Earth, birders are the absolute nicest people who love to share their information. If you're talking about getting into something that you don't know much about and you want to learn very quickly, birding is one of those things. And the people at Audubon, they just do a great job with it. And one of the things you can get involved with is they have the World Series of Birding in the springtime where they're doing counts around the world. And that Christmas count typically is a Saturday before Christmas. And that's a great thing to get involved in. And again, you get to meet some really nice people. And I would say check your local outdoor clubs, many of the outdoor stores. You can check your Ramsey Outdoors of Life and all that. And they may have information about different local clubs. Or, hey, think about starting your own club. Sometimes even starting a club just with your neighbors. Some of your neighbors will feed. And you get to chat about the different birds that are there and share your knowledge and share your enjoyment. You know, you might have them over for a cup of tea and they're checking out your viewing stations and they will reciprocate and do the same thing. And again, since I love to educate our youth, how about starting a birding club at school, suggesting to a teacher, maybe you even, or your local club supplies for that local club, the same MO is to the knowledge and sharing that enjoyment. You know, one of my good friends, Angelo Gascione, teacher at a local school, high school, as his budgets were going on, Angelo would keep adding a couple pairs of binoculars. And now he has about 30 pairs of binoculars. And he takes his students on morning bird walks. And I think that's really cool. So think about this. You've got high schoolers showing up before school because they want to be there. They're learning. Gash, as he's known by his students, Gash is the guy that they all want to be around just because, like, hey, we all know those educators that are just someone who is special out there who belongs in education. He's one of them. And they spend some time with him, but he also gets to share, like, one of his loves, one of his, you know, passions out there. And they get to learn a little bit about, you know, nature. And that's a great thing. Well, here's one last cool fact for you. Birds can help predict the severity of winter storms. And you go, well, how can a bird predict the severity of a winter storm? Well, they can feel the barometric pressure, the changes in it that we cannot. And here's the deal. If they feed heavily prior to a storm, the storm will be long in duration. If the birds are feeding during the storm will be short in duration. So you just take a look at their feeding patterns as a storm is approaching prior to and during, and you'll know quite a bit about the storms. So you can continue to watch the news and continue to watch the birds for your enjoyment. And of course, the weather report. This is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeyb.tv. That's joeyb.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. That was awesome.